Americans are hungry for rankings. They like to know whether their hometowns are the cleanest or the craziest, the hippest or the healthiest. Now urban residents have a new set of numbers to digest. This summer, John Miller, an education professor and chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, completed a study that ranks America's 64 largest cities in terms of their commitment to literacy. Chancellor Miller joins us from member station WHA in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
So we got Minneapolis, Seattle, and Denver at the top of the list. What was it that determined the success of these cities?
Well, I used 13 different variables that really are, can be thought of as grouped up into five categories, and they were the availability and number of booksellers, quality of libraries, educational level of the population, periodicals published, and newspaper circulation.
Ah, so when you have Detroit and Long Beach and El Paso, Texas at the bottom of the heap, what common features did they share?
Well, they were, although those three cities don't necessarily share all of these, the group at the bottom of the list was largely comprised of cities with lots of new immigrants, lots of non-English speakers, although I did count Spanish-speaking daily newspapers in part of the circulation, but lots of people working probably two, three, four jobs to make a living. So you see the new immigrant towns, cities, towards the bottom of the list.
There was something very surprising in your study, and it tended to bust a few stereotypes. Boston, which is a city that a lot of people associate with higher education, lots of colleges and universities in the city, and a very big public library system, tied with Las Vegas. How do you explain that?
Well, they're very high on the percentage of people with a bachelor's degree. And you're right, they have, I think, over 40 universities in and around the city. But they're not very high. In fact, they're fairly low in the percentage of people with a high school diploma. And so educational level may be one point in one area and another point in another area. And that's true of a lot of big cities.
What kind of feedback are you getting about the rankings from people in these cities?
There are certainly people that are surprised. There was a very interesting piece, I thought, in the Boston Globe where they handled it in a very humorous way. But all in all, I think people have been very fair about it. I've had some terrific responses from cities in the bottom of the list saying, that's probably about right. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some things that we can do to improve that?
You just asked my next question. What are some of the things that the cities on the bottom of the list can do to improve their ranking?
Well, I can give you some examples of things that are going on now. There are some cities in this study and elsewhere that have a campaign where they read a book a year. Commonly, everyone in the city is often chosen by the mayor or some other public person chooses a book, and then everybody in the city reads it. You can certainly do things to support your local literacy council. They're a common provider, and there are certainly others, of tutoring for non-literate or illiterate adults, so you could go out and volunteer and help somebody learn to read. It's not necessarily easy to change that kind of thing, but it's easier to change than some of the rankings, like what the annual precipitation is in the city, so there's room for improvement.
John Miller is an education professor and chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. He joined us from member station WHA in Madison, Wisconsin. If you'd like to see that list, go to our website, npr.org. Chancellor Miller, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for inviting me.